And welcome to Encore. Encore is Near FM's Highlights of the Week programme. And on this week's edition, John Healy is joined on Northside Today by Angela Smith, CEO of Dressed for Success Dublin, where they chat about a month-long equal pay campaign. Later, Michael Sullivan is joined on Lifeline by Dr. Liam Toomey, Chief Medical Officer for Drink Aware, where they discuss research on behaviour and attitudes. And finally, Johnny Holmes is joined on Northside Today by Tommy Brown, Independent TD for Dublin Bay North, where they chat about the future of Donnymead Library. But first, on this week's edition of Encore, it's John Healy on Northside Today.
On the line now, I have Angela Smith, who is CEO of Dress for Success Dublin. Good afternoon, Angela.
Hello, John. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
No, you're more than welcome. Now, we're going to talk about this month-long equal pay campaign that was launched yesterday, which is going to, you know, about the gender pay gap that we're hearing a lot about lately. But before we go for that, will you tell us about Dress for Success, how it came about and what it's all about?
No problem at all. Dress for Success Dublin was actually founded in 2011 by stylist, the designer and the tech entrepreneur Sonia Lennon. So Sonia Lennon, people might know her from Off the Rails, formerly on TV, or Lennon Courtney Range in Dunn Stores. And the aim of the organisation is to promote the economic independence of women. So we provide career development tools and a support network. So our core services would include, for example, professional clothing and styling advice. So women who come to us tend to be ready for jobs, they're interview ready, but maybe they've been out of the workforce for a while and can't afford an outfit for an interview, so we provide them with free clothing and free styling in our clothing boutique. We also do one-to-one preparation, interview preparation, and these are with the help of HR professionals in our career centre, so they'll go through their CV with them, do mock interviews to check what questions they could be asked when they go for their interview, and it's all again about building up confidence in women when they're heading for interviews. The other thing we also provide, if the women are successful in getting employment, we provide then a starter work wardrobe. So that could be 3 to 4 outfits, again, no cost to the women, but it starts them off on until they can afford to actually buy their own outfits. And then, of course, there's other programmes that we do. For example, we're kicking off a mentoring programme with A&L Goodbody. That's kicking off in December. It's like a pilot mentoring programme. So say women who have been involved in schemes like TUS or local employment schemes, these are partnered with staff from A&L Goodbody. And again, it's a specific theme is picked each month for the 6 months of the mentoring programme. But again, it's just about helping develop the skills that they need to establish sustainable careers and the longer term achieve economic independence. That's just sort of a flavour of what we do.
Yeah, that sounds like a great service. And would you find, Angela, that women who have given up the work to stay at home, raise their children, are wanting to get back into the workforce? And you mentioned confidence there, and they probably wouldn't have the confidence. But you help with all that.
We do. But now we literally support women from all walks of life. So it could be a 19-year-old, it could be somebody who's just finished college. It could be a woman who maybe for 20, 25 years decided to take a bit of time out away from the workforce and just want to now decide I'm ready to get back into it. Maybe I've done a bit of training. By the time they come to us, they tend to be, I said, work ready and interview ready. And again, we then spend that consultation with them. It could be in, if it's a case they need a bit more support, we'll call them back until they feel confident enough to go and get ready for their interview. In a way, you could almost say the women that come to us, they're almost our clients for life. So to me, it's providing an ongoing support, not only after the initial support of getting them ready for those interviews, but also the ongoing support as they start getting back into work. Because it can be a bit daunting starting off again.
Now, that sort of explains why you've launched this. It's a month-long equal pay campaign.
That's right.
But
we usually hold this programme every November.
Yep.
And it's really to raise awareness of the gender pay gap and, of course, to raise money to support more women back into work.
Right, and explain to us the gender pay gap. We know what it is. Is there a reason for this, or is it just a disservice that's been going on now for years?
It's according to figures that we found out recently, the gender pay gap in Ireland is approximately 14%. So one way of looking at this is that women work for free for the last 7 weeks of each year. So you nearly want to, when you're starting off on your work career, you nearly want to be very strong in your negotiation skills when you're applying for work or applying for your first job, because sometimes women can self-select and maybe for whatever personal reasons go for lower paid jobs. It tends to be mostly women that go for the lower paid jobs, and of course they don't think long-term, things like pensions or their long-term career, they don't think like that. So in some ways they're almost holding themselves back from the start of their work career. We're going to be picked the 10th of November this year to mark Equal Pay Day, and we are going to have a series of events during the month of November to raise awareness and keep the conversation going.
Yes, and we've heard a lot recently about the gender pay gap, in particular in the entertainment business, that people are doing the same, you know, they're doing the same work and women are getting paid less. Is this widespread with all employers?
It can. That's what we've heard about recently. It's probably those who are probably in higher paid roles, such as people will think of the debate that was in BBC or RTE, and people always think, oh, it's the higher paid people that are impacted here. And it does go in all walks of life, unfortunately. But we're also more conscious of thinking about those who are on the lower, shall we say, the lower end of the pay scale. And what we would love to do is do a bit of research and to find out what is stopping women from advancing themselves and what is stopping them from just starting off like that, starting off strongly when they start work, the world of work. So, I mean, yeah, it's to research and how the pay gap impacts the lower income earners. We would love to do that bit of research. We haven't seen anything on that recently. We've also made a consultation to government, and we're looking at, say, mandatory shared parental leave for men and women. Can we make childcare more affordable? Can we? How can we implement measures to help address the gender pay gap? So we have put that submission to government. The government ran a government put the call out for consultation, suggestions, and we put those conversations through, put those submissions through. And on the 10th of next November, we're actually going to have a panel of discussion actually in Temple Bar in the Project Arts Centre, and it's actually from 8:30 until 10. And it's just, there'll be some exciting speakers there, but it's just about keeping the conversation going. Why is this such an issue? Ireland is 14%. I think it's even lower on the continent. But people, places are limited. If people want to come along, they please come along. Just register on an Eventbrite or on our website. But Puddicks Art Theatre, that's next Friday. And the other number of events that we're actually running a fashion show. It's a fashion sale, I should say, and it's actually in our new premises on Ellis Quay in Smithfield. So if people want to grab a designer bargain and again support the equal pay debate, do come along Friday and Saturday of next week from 12 until 4 on the Friday and then from 10 until 3 on the Saturday. And we do have some nice bargains, particularly on the designer work wardrobe. But that'll also help us raise funds. It'll also help us tackle the gender pay gap and raise awareness of the important issue. Yeah, also have a briefing with members of the Oireachtas at Leinster House, and this will be hosted by Senator Lorraine Clifford-Lee. And we're also engaged with members of Dublin City Council, and that will be facilitated by Councillor Claire Byrne. So the whole month of November is really about raising awareness of this issue, keeping the conversation going, engaging with government and senior leaders in Dublin and in Ireland. Yeah, keep the conversation going.
Yeah, and it's called an equal pay campaign, but it's not just about pay. You mentioned shared parental leave there and more affordable childcare. And this affordable childcare, the cost of childcare in Ireland keeps coming up with people that I do different interviews with, in particular single parent families. What can be done about the cost of childcare? Can it be subsidised by the government, for instance?
But it could be subsidised for the government, but then you sort of wonder, in turn, does that mean then that you're going to raise the price of childcare? As you say, in some cases, it's almost like a mini mortgage, or it's almost like a mortgage for young families and couples trying to keep in the world of work and, yes, paying for childcare. That's probably as part of our submission to government. Let's have the debate. Let's see how can we tackle this issue and make childcare more affordable, about the strangling young couples trying to keep going and do the best for their families.
Well, hopefully they listen to you, Angela, and I wish you success with that one. Is there anything now you'd like to add? Do you want to give out websites? Or?
Yes, please. I'll give you our email address if anyone wants to get in touch with us. So it's info@dressforsuccessdublin.org, And then our website, if you want to visit or register for the for our fashion show, or also even to register for our discussion panel next Friday morning, it's www.dressforsuccessdublin.org.
That's dublin.org. Okay.
That'll work.
And all the information is there. Listen, Angela, thank you very much for taking the call. And we would urge everybody to go onto that website and read up about this month-long equal pay campaign. It's ridiculous in this day and age that women are getting paid less than men for no particular reason.
You're right there. But as I said, it's good to keep the conversation alive.
It is.
And it won't all be resolved in a month, but at least if we keep the conversation going, I think this might just take off.
Okay, and good luck with your meeting there with members of the Oireachtas. Thank you.
And thank you very much again for the opportunity.
Thank you, Angela. Thanks very much.
And that was John Healy, who was joined on Northside today by Angela Smith, CEO of Dressed for Success Dublin. Next on Encore, Michael Sullivan is joined on Lifeline by Dr. Liam Toomey, Chief Medical Officer for Drink Aware, where they chat about research on behaviour and attitudes.
Now, on the line, I have with me Dr. Liam Toomey, the Chief Medical Officer for Drinks Aware. Dr. Toomey, Drink Aware have just published some research done by behaviour and attitudes. Can you tell us a bit about it?
You know, well, the strong thing that keeps coming through is that Irish people still feel that drinking to excess is just part of our culture. And it's something that we really need to tackle, that this idea that, you know, drinking to excess is somehow just part of our culture and there's nothing we can do about it. Because, you know, the more we inform people and the more we can get to people and explain to them the consequences of excessive drinking on a regular basis, the more it's likely that people will change their attitude towards excessive drinking. Excessive drinking has not just obvious effects on people, which is just, you know, getting drunk and maybe falling over and hurting themselves, but excessive drinking is related to a whole range of physical illnesses, just cancer, stomach disease, you know, heart disease. It's also related to mental health problems that people have, and it simply is something that people need to take on board and reduce the amount of alcohol that they drink, especially those people who are drinking to excess at any period of time, whether it's all during the week or just on weekends. And what's really strange is, for a very well-educated group of people, less than 3% of Irish adults can actually identify the alcohol limits that they should be trying to stay within on a weekly basis. So that means only 3 out of every 100 can actually identify the correct figures. And that's really unusual for for people who you expect should know better. So basically what Drink Aware is asking people is, you know, inform yourselves about the risks of excessive drinking, know what excessive drinking is, and know what the effects it has on your health. And all that information, and that's quite a lot of information, all that information is available on the Drink Aware website. And it's there for people, not just for themselves, but it's also there for parents who might like to talk to their own children about drinking and the effects that alcohol can have on the young person's body and the young person's brain.
We often have people on from different charities and service providers talking about alcohol and talking about addiction to alcohol, or dependency, as you might say, on alcohol. But can we talk a little bit about, and I think your survey covers this quite well, we're not just talking about people who are dependent on alcohol. We're talking about you and me and the ordinary people around, and has been more aware of our drinking habits. Can you give us some tips on how we can drink a little bit less?
Well, there's a number of things we can do, because a lot of people nowadays are actually drinking a lot at home, and often they have no idea of the amount they're actually drinking, because, you know, they're at home, they just pour it away and don't realise that how much they're drinking is in comparison to when you go to a pub and you have to pay for it. You become acutely aware that you're drinking quite a lot because you see the money going out of your pocket. But so what we'd ask is that when people are at home drinking, is the first thing you've got to stop is stop free pouring drinks. Like, don't free pour spirits. get a measuring cup that will show you exactly what one measure of a spirit or wine or beer is, so that you're not free pouring it and you know what you're drinking. And that standard measure cup is available on the Drinkaware website, and we'll send it out to you if you just make a request for it free of charge. So that's the first thing we said, don't free pour all drink, any drink, but especially spirits. Don't free pour spirits. Next thing is, if you're drinking wine at home, don't top up the glass and stop other people from topping up your glass, and don't get into the habit of topping up other people's. We have this Irish thing that we're not generous unless we're pouring drink into people, and we're not doing them any favours at all. And it's another thing we need to stop. So let the person finish their glass of wine first, then give them another glass of wine. That way everybody again knows how much they're drinking. And if you are having alcohol at home, and even when you're out for a meal or in the bar, another good habit which you see a lot of people do on the continent do is to have a glass of water in between each drink. And that serves two purposes. One, it slows you down from drinking too much alcohol. And the second thing, it stops you from getting dehydrated. And dehydration adds to the feeling of drunkenness, and it adds to the hangover the day after. So get into the habit of rehydrating yourself. The next thing we would ask people to do is maybe, you know, look at what alcohol you drink, and look at drinking a lighter beer, say lower alcohol beer, when you're out, if you know you're going to be out all day, so that you are getting less alcohol into your system. So they are just some of the measures that people should do. And I think the most important one that Irish people need to do, and this is almost another cultural thing, is I think we should give up completely on this thing about rounds, because all rounds do is make us all drink at the same level as the fastest drinker in the group. And that only means that we're then, those of us who maybe want to drink it a bit more slower, end up drinking more than we actually want, because we're trying to keep up to everybody else in the round. So I think it's time really to consign the whole idea of rounds to history and forget about doing it, and let everybody buy their drink as they wish to drink it.
Yes, I know there's stout out there now that they, what they call mid strength, which is roughly half the strength of the normal stout. But there seems to be far less of that on the alcohol lager front.
There is, yeah.
Maybe there should be a little push on the drinks industry to introduce some on-tap lager mid-strength.
Absolutely. It's, again, it goes back to this funny way that we are in here in Ireland. Yeah, we seem to either want to don't drink at all, which is actually 1 in 4 people in this country doesn't drink at all, or it seems that we can't get enough into us. And there is a need really for us to almost change our attitudes toward drinking, because Irish people seem to have this thing about that they don't really want to be drinking a low alcohol beer, because it seems that the whole idea of going out drinking is to get drunk. And that's what we need to change, is that, you know, we must change our ways about we just wanting to get drunk when we go out. And that's, in actual fact, there are low alcohol lagers out there, but the drinks companies doesn't find a huge demand for them in the Irish market. Say in comparison, say, to other countries where there is would be great demand for a low alcohol beers, and people then can drink, you know, more beers and enjoy the night longer. We need to change our ways about it and get rid of the idea that, you know, we're only going out to get drunk. And that's why I think the drink companies will provide the low alcohol beer and will provide the low alcohol beer on tap if Irish people actually look for it. But at the moment, we don't seem to have quite cracked that nut yet of just drinking to be more about being sociable rather than just about getting drunk.
And I think that's a very salient point, that a lot of Irish people, when they go out for a drink, all they want to do is they feel they haven't had a good night unless they've got drunk and can't remember what they've been doing. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And it seems to start at a relatively young age, and I think that's why it's probably important that we get a very good alcohol-based educational program into our schools and just focus on alcohol. Even though the educational program is about addiction, focus a lot on all, you know, every sort of illicit drug as well as alcohol. Alcohol still remains the drug of choice to be abused in this country. And I think there's a need still to get into the schools and to give a specific program on just about alcohol.
Yes, indeed. I did some work with Sister Concilio's Cunwira. So I can say that it is quite amazing when you compare the amount of people going through treatment centres for alcohol addiction vis-a-vis other addictions, whether that be drugs or gambling. And this is not to downgrade any of them, but you're talking 4 or 5 times more people are going through these centres with alcohol addiction. But not only that, it's not just alcohol. The alcohol has a tendency, even though that might be the primary drug, it does then, people are popping pills or they're getting involved in other addictions, starting from the alcohol addiction. Dr. Yeah. Toomey, thank you very much for coming on. Some great tips there for us.
You're very welcome.
And hopefully,
nice Halloween.
And you too, a happy and safe one. And hopefully we'll talk to you soon again.
Thank you.
All the best. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
And that was Michael Sullivan, who was joined on Lifeline by Dr. Liam Toomey, Chief Medical Officer for Drink Aware, where they discussed research on behaviour and attitudes. And finally, on this week's edition of Encore, Johnny Holmes is joined on Northside Today by Tommy Brown, Independent TD for Dublin Bay North, where they discussed the future of Donnymead Library.
First of all, Tommy, the current 35-year lease is due to expire in June 2019. Is there any possibility that the lease may be renewed so that the library can remain centrally in Donnymead Shopping Centre?
Well, I contacted the, on foot of a lot of inquiries from constituents, I contacted the city librarian, Margaret Hayes, and she told me that obviously the 35-year term, which commenced in 1984, it is due to expire in June 2019. But she said that the city has been exploring and will continue to explore all opportunities to ensure, she says, there's continuity of service in the users of Donnymead Library and the communities of Donnymead, Clongriffin and she says, Balgriffin. But those opportunities include the possibility of relocating the library to a Dublin City Council-owned premises. And she said that that would allow them to provide extra floor space, increased access to services like free Wi-Fi, lectures and meetings and so on, and to improve generally the access for people and provide greater visibility and street presence. So I mean that was the response, but I think the general concern among constituents, and particularly the people who have grown up down through the years in all the estates around the Donnymead Shopping Centre, that this valuable resource, it's in a very central location, very handy, and various groups like I was contacted, for example, by members of the Irish speaking group who meet there, I think, a couple of times a week, and I know that they'd be around the shopping centre on a Saturday morning, and they kind of feel it's a very central, handy location, and that their preference would be clearly that the lease would be extended.
Okay, so is it actually being suggested at this point in time that the lease will not be renewed? Why is this?
No, it's just such as they seem to be saying they'll explore all possibilities. Now, we've had issues with community facilities over recent years in the Donnymead area in particular. There's a a brilliant local community group called Target that your listeners will be familiar with, who are very strong in areas like counselling and childcare and so on. And they were based in Skullcullen Killa in the centre of Donnymead as well, but they had to relocate and they're in a number of different locations at the moment. And I suppose at the time people said when we were campaigning to try and ensure that they retained premises and they were allowed to continue their excellent work, that they would also be in a central location. I suppose like the greater Donnymead area, if you were to include now the North Fringe, the new districts of obviously Clongriffin, Balmain, Maybe over as far as Burnell, and then, you know, down to Millbrook, and all the way down the Kilbarrick Road. It is a kind of vast territory, and I suppose similar territories in other areas of the city, for example, in our own centre and brilliant civic offices in Coolock, would have a kind of a civic offices type structure. So I don't know whether city officials were thinking in terms of that for Donaghmede, but as I said, the general wish of everybody is that the current location, which is very handy and central for many users from the immediate, you know, which was set up for them in the original Donaghmede parish, that it would continue there and in that kind of central location.
All right. Who is the current landlord, or are you aware of it?
Well, I presume it's the shopping centre.
The shopping centre.
Yeah, which is, I think it's Paddy Doherty, the who originally, him and Mike Murphy. We had, there was a plan to redevelop the shopping centre, which I think went through. We had huge debates about that. One of the outstanding local community groups is the Donaghmede Estate Residents Association, DERA. I know, I think Eamon Patterson is the current secretary, and they've always had a very strong view on the shopping centre. So the shopping centre, it was around the time I was starting in politics, it was, if you like, upgraded, but then there was a further plan to bring it into, if you like, the modern era. And that plan never happened, and it would have obviously included library facilities and so on. There was, I think, an underground maybe car park as well with it. It was, it was on the lines of maybe that we'd be familiar with at other locations in Dublin Bay North and the adjoining constituencies. But that hasn't happened because maybe of the recession, obviously, wrecked everything. And I suppose at the moment, the shopping centre, where it has some excellent, business tenants like, you know, Kay's Kitchen, Dunn's, and so on. But obviously, people, you know, that other plan, which was much more ambitious and progressive, I suppose, people thought that at some stage that would develop, and then the Dublin Civic Offices, DCC offices, including a library, would be part of that situation. But that hasn't happened so far.
Okay, so the City Council is actually intending to construct a civic centre for Donaghmede and surrounding areas anyway.
No, I'm not saying that.
All right, okay.
I'm saying that from what Margaret Hayes is saying, that I don't know, she's saying that the possibilities include relocating to a city premises, which would also include, you know, increased floor space, better capacity to expand the services, enhanced more accessible book display, and improved exhibition, and so on, better Wi-Fi, and all of those kind of facilities. But if that was the case, it wouldn't be in the central location. I mean, that's the concern that people have. Obviously, there's a lot of commercial infrastructure, and there's a number of empty buildings in the Clongriffin area, and I've been chasing, obviously, the City Council and also the Minister Simon Coveney, when he was Minister for Housing, now Minister Owen Murphy, to kind of provide an audit of services for our vast new territory in Balmain and Clongriffin, which, you know, would include all kinds of, you know, besides, you know, obviously schools, health centres, commercial services of all kinds, and general creches and so on. And Minister Coveney didn't take any action on that, but I'm hoping Minister Owen Murphy would pursue that. Now, I don't know whether Dublin City, that's what I'm saying, I don't know, but the wish of my constituents is that the library would stay in Donaghmede Central, in the shopping centre where it's currently located, where it is a wonderful haven. Like the other libraries around the constituency in Coolock and in Raheny and the other areas, that it's a beautiful haven of, as you know yourself, if you've used it, peace and tranquility, and really important, point of information for constituents. So that would be their basic wish, John.
Yes, absolutely. What is the current household population in the Donaghmede and surrounding area? It's about 3,000 plus. Am I right?
Yeah, I'd say, there's about three, the old parish was about 3,000, but then if you add on now, as I said, the North Fringe, Balmain, Clongriffin, you're probably talking, you know, it's coming up to 4,000 or 5,000, so it's like, it's a huge territory, a vast area, so, you know, you're talking like in, I suppose, coming up to the equivalent of, say, in the North Coolock area of Bonnybrook, Darndale and Priorswood parishes, you know, maybe Kilmore as well. So you're coming into a very, very large territory. And obviously the civic office is there, and you know, your own headquarters, I know, is based in that location as well. So you know, I'm not sure what the longer term. Obviously, we do need more facilities. One of the issues about the North Fringe, I know, it's a separate issue, is of course that there's a lot of development which is in the Fingal side on the Baldoyle. Well, the Baldoyle hasn't really started as much again as the Dublin City side, but at Balgriffin, for example, there's a huge new development, but it's you know, it's part of the existing development, but it's actually in Fingal County. And what we need to do, obviously, is get to the two county councils, or the county and city council, working together to kind of provide facilities. But irrespective of that, I think the wishes of my Donaghmede parish constituents would be that the library would stay in its current location, that it would be in a central location, the centre of Donaghmede parish.
Okay, Tommy, we've actually caught up on time there. Anything else you'd like to add just before we finish up?
Well, as I said, something I've been pursuing, and obviously I intend to contact Margaret Hayes, the city librarian, and of course city manager Owen Keegan, again over coming weeks, to try and get clarity on this, because I think, as I said, outstanding local organisations such as the Donaghmede Estate Residents Association, they deserve clarity, you know, on the future on this. And indeed, I mean, I think the city should be taken in terms of all kinds of social, educational, and other community facilities. It should be a proactive look at, you know, how we're going to be in 2025, 2030. People are thinking in terms of that in spatial plans now, and planning the population of our north side and the city and the country. People are saying could be up to 1 million higher, and so on. And you know, you need to be thinking now in terms of, for example, recently we got third place in the competition to host the Rugby Football World Cup, according to the expert report. And one of the things that's disturbing about that report is that they say that on infrastructural grounds, we didn't match France, we didn't match South Africa. Now, we don't know, obviously, we might still be in with a shout of that competition coming to Ireland. And obviously, we're going to keep competing for it and other international competitions like that. But it is disturbing that people would say, you know, that we're lacking in transport and other key infrastructure. We know we are, and there's been almost no investment, as you know, over the last 10 years. It's below depreciation levels. We need to change that and try and put in significant investment, and in particular, as I said, for Donaghmede Parish and for the new areas like Clongriffin, you know, Balmain, the coast, Bournelle, all of those areas. Like, they need to have their own you know, major, as I said, including transport facilities. That's why, for example, I'd be a strong supporter of Metro North and of starting on it, and you know, for a Lewis type line and so on, for Finglas and for the whole areas of the north side, because we have been badly neglected.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Tommy, thank you very much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and enjoy your day.
And that was Encore for this week. Encore will be back here on Near FM at the same time next Sunday afternoon. That's 4 p.m. Have a terrific week. Bye-bye.